It's been said that most people die at age 25 and wait to be buried at age 65. So the big question is this: how are entrepreneurs like us who believe in God and read the Bible preparing for the financial danger that the bankers and brokers do not want us to know about? How do we resist a life that's less than we are promised and hold on to our dreams so that we can live in fullness every day? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the secret. My name is Nate Scott, and welcome to the Life is Rich podcast.
All right, welcome everybody. I am so excited today because we're going to switch a little bit of gears and we're going to actually go into financial health, which is really exciting. And I have with me an amazing author, speaker, just a very inspirational person, period, Nate Scott. And I'm not going to do much of the talking. Of course, I want him to do most of the talking. So welcome, Nate. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you live? What are you known for? And what are your areas of expertise?
Well, hello, Chrissy. I'm so delighted to be here with you. Thank you for the opportunity to connect with you and your amazing audience. I am originally from a small town outside of Savannah, Georgia, and I grew up in Savannah with the idea that I wanted to play college basketball. And when my basketball scholarship fell through coming out of high school, I turned down my academic scholarships and enlisted in the Army. And within that time, as soon as I got to my unit, I immediately enrolled in college courses, continued to play sports. And as a result of that, one of my professors, her husband was a West Pointer. She knew my company commander, and they approached me about the idea of going to West Point. Mm. Now, that was a great recognition for me. It was also very interesting because I had no interest in going to the academy. But as the opportunity was presented, I truly wanted to seize the day, carpe diem. And so I made a decision that they were going to help me with paperwork and saw something in me to encourage me to apply, that I would do my part to follow through with the opportunity. Well, around that same time, a life-changing moment took place. And this is when my first sergeant, who's a senior non-commissioned officer in the military, gave us the word that we were going to be deployed to serve in combat during Operation Desert Storm. And as you can imagine, getting an announcement like that, something totally not expected, but truly the heart of my job, was really life-changing for me as a teenager. And so as a teenager, I find myself serving in Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and it was the first time in my life that I really understood the importance of preparation, instruction, and guidance. And although I had fear, what I said was, Lord, if you allow me to make it back, I'll never waste a day of my life. Mm. And so I've dedicated my life to fulfilling that vow. And it's evolved into a phenomenal career, not only in the traditional sense, serving in the military and then transitioning into the civilian world and working in the corporate setting, but also as an entrepreneur, because it was truly about being able to live out that vow. And the last thing I'll tell you, that it has culminated into a life that has started initially as an entrepreneur, as a personal trainer. From there, I started teaching people how to apply the habits of physical fitness to their life. Then I did my MBA at George Washington University, started teaching people how to apply the habits of physical fitness to business. From there, my financial planning background is from Georgetown University, started teaching people how to apply the habits of physical fitness to personal finance. And inevitably, I've realized that I have a process that's very deliberate and that gets results in helping people to live in fullness every day, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically, and financially. And my message is one of faith that's focused on helping a believer to walk out that which they say they believe. It's not religious. It's just about a spirit or a mindset around faith and a higher power that says, if you believe this, then your actions must represent your expectations. And to that end, I'm just delighted to be able to serve people with my greatest gift, and to truly give myself away, which my name is Nathaniel, which means God's gift or gift of God. So I'm truly in a great place and living out that. So I look forward to answering your questions and just getting to know you a little bit further.
Perfect. You know, it was interesting. I was speaking on a different show yesterday, and the guest had asked me about times when someone had planted seeds in my life that had been catalyst for change, right? And transformation. And obviously that was a moment for you when someone saw something in you that you hadn't quite contemplated for yourself. But I love that you took that opportunity, and not only did you run with it, you made it a mission, and now you are planting so many seeds of greatness in other people. So I love that. You wrote a book called Life is Rich, How to Create Lasting Wealth. And I want to preface this a little bit because this is a health and wellness podcast. So some of my listeners might be like, what does that have to do with, what does money and finances have to do with health and wellness? Well, I teach non-food sources of nourishment, and financial health is definitely an area of health and wellness, because when we mismanage our resources, or we don't use tools properly, or we don't understand these tools, it really can affect the rest of our health. It's still a piece of life. We have to learn how to use these tools correctly and feed sort of our passion. So tell us a little bit about this book and why Living a Rich Life is such a passion project for you.
Well, everything is about the meaning. So I'm glad that you framed it in the context, because we're walking the same path. As I said, my first business was as a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. Everything that I do is foundationally built on the idea of wellness, but that's biblical. It's truly about the fact that we are promised and expected to live in a life of abundance and to prosper in every area of our life. But your health is your wealth. And so with that being my anchor point, and being an athlete throughout my entire life, and then leading people to helping them make their own personal transition, their own transformations, it's an interesting thing of how it all came together. Life is rich means I live in fullness every day because I realize I am Christ's heir. I live in fullness every day because I realize I am Christ's heir. It's foundationally built on Matthew 6:33, which says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And then there's the promise that all things thereafter shall be added unto you. That means spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically, and financially. Financial worry impacts over 70% of people. Financial worry. Well, worry is about the mind. After the mind, you have stress. Stress is about the body. And then after the stress in the body, the mind and the body, the last is anxiety. Anxiety is both the mind and the body. Anyone that is trying to live a full night, to be healthy, that is concerned about their finances, inevitably are going to be experiencing things that will counteract. The reality is that money does matter. And so I wrote Life is Rich, How to Create Lasting Wealth as a principle-centered, biblically-based leadership program focused on personal growth and entrepreneurship. Leadership, because as a personal trainer, I know the importance of one leading oneself in order to make a true transformation. Mm-hmm. So leadership is the answer, and it impacts every area of our life. I wrote this book to address the fact that 77 million baby boomers are retiring and facing a cash flow danger. 66 out of 100 people age 65 earn less than $30,000 retirement. 47% of people said they had a $400 emergency. They'd have to sell something or borrow money to address it. And 68% of people are living paycheck to paycheck. I wrote it because it's about how to think versus what to think, because that was the methodology in which I used in taking my soldiers into battle, knowing that if I got killed on a battlefield, the mission still has to take place. So it's a Socratic method of teaching. I excel at teaching people how to think versus what to think. Every chapter begins with scripture, but then I say, so what? How do you take God's word and apply it on a daily basis? Mm-hmm. When it all comes together, it's not about money. It's about wealth. Wealth is about time. How do you get your time so that you can truly enjoy a stress-free life? How do you get your time so that you can truly enjoy those things that you must do in order to be healthy? How do you do that if you don't have the money in place? So I address the cash flow danger versus about net worth and investing for the long term. I'm looking at it from the vantage point of how do I take a person and help them to prevent or overcome financial worry? And I do that by giving them a game plan that's based upon preparation, guidance, and instruction in order to create the cash flow that will allow them to sustain life, whether or not they're working a full-time job currently, or if they've transitioned into a next season of their life. But it's really in place so that people that are going through life transitions, and primarily women, be it divorce or outliving a spouse, or maybe taking care of adult children or their parents, or just entering to the workforce and facing a wage gap. All those are types of issues that I label as cash flow dangers that no one is talking about, because we get roped into this idea of putting away money, but not really understanding that cash flow is a thing that we're going to need in order to sustain ourselves, whether or not it's up or down economy. And the timing of it couldn't be more pressing than now.
So maybe, can you expand a little bit on that? So cash flow versus putting away, because a lot of people I know are saving, but they're still sort of broke day to day to day. So can you explain what you mean by creating cash flow?
Yeah, so you have two income statements. You have an income statement and you have a balance sheet. Mm-hmm. When you look at the income statement, you're looking at income and expenses. And if you know of a book called Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, he speaks mm-hmm. about the different flow of money of the poor, the middle class, and the wealthy. I saw this back in 2001, and it forever changed my life in this diagram, because it caught me at a time in which I was transitioning from the military. And after reading the book, 90 days after reading it, I went out and acquired over $1 million in assets in 90 days. It's what laid the foundation for my first million at 32. And so this diagram is simply this. It goes, the cash flow for the poor is income to expenses, then out the window. Income, expenses, out the window. So you have people living paycheck to paycheck. That's what that looks like when you look at it visually. The income of the middle class, people think they are in better position because they have things such as the car, they have the home, they have the college degree. But what they really have are things that have been financed. So you have income to liability. Liabilities are your loans. Income to liability. Every liability has a monthly expense. So the flow of money for the middle class is income to liability to expenses, then out the window. Mm-hmm. Income, liability, expenses, out the window. That cycle right there is what most of the population faces. And what that happens is then as things happen, such as inflation or job loss or market downfall, it really starts to pinch. Because now people are looking to try to save, but you can't save your way out of your financial circumstance. It's a matter of debt. If you're trying to save and you are facing rising inflation, then what's happening is your money is actually going backwards. And so you're not actually talking about, you're saving and getting less in savings than the inflation rate going up. And that's the part that most people just are not aware of, because as a society, we're financially illiterate. The income statement for the flow of money for the wealthy is quite different. And this is where the whole idea of cash flow versus putting away money for the long term is income to asset, to create more income, to create more assets, to create more income. The asset is that thing which makes you money. Mm-hmm. The asset is something that you can look at with the expectation of it going up in value, or producing revenue that will allow you to put more money into your household that you can then use to spend. So the lesson that I'd give to everyone here is about getting control over your behavior, because finances are 80% behavior, 20% know-how. Mm-hmm. I call it having a pause button. Regardless of where your circumstances are right now, you want to really get an assessment of where you're at, and then get clear about how your money is flowing currently. And if you can reroute, if you're willing to reroute, not if you can, if you're willing to reroute your money to the asset column, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it means delaying paying a bill because you have an opportunity to have something produce something, then that's what you want to do, because you want the flow to be a circular flow, income to asset, to income to asset, to income to asset, to income to asset. And that ends up being that cash flow cycle that as it comes back around, you can pay off, you can pay towards bills or pay off bills, but you've got something continuing going. So whether or not it's an up economy or a down economy, you live off a cash flow, not a lump sum, You're not living off of your house being worth $1 million. You're not living off the fact that you're a millionaire because your balance sheet says you're a millionaire. What type of cash flow do you have? Because I would rather teach you how to create a $1 million lifestyle of $5,000 a month for life than try to help you to get to $1.2 million when I know you don't have enough income or enough time, or you can't get a great enough return. Mm-hmm. And that's what I saw as a former financial advisor, that people were following that plan and had no realization that they needed $1.2 million if they said they wanted $5,000 a month, or $2.4 million if they needed $10,000 a month. That's the reality of it. And when you do the numbers, and I do that on page 721 of my book, where I give seven questions so you can identify whether or not you're at risk of the cash flow danger.
So why isn't this taught? Like, why are we taught this traditional method of go to work? Just like, I'm, you know, a middle class person myself, and I often feel trapped by it, which is why I am in the process of changing my life as well. Why is it taught that this is the traditional way? And when you try to break out of that cycle, so many people think you're absolutely crazy. What are the systemic issues that are stopping people from pursuing this? Because it's available to everybody.
Well, the reason that is not taught per se, it's not that the information is not available, but when you say not taught, you got to think about institutions in which people are taught within. Mm-hmm. They're taught within school systems, and school systems are in turn a part of something that's a part of the government structure. So with the government structure, one of the things that the government structure has to ensure that the country continues to work. And so that means taxation. So you have two different tax systems. You have the tax system for the employee and the tax system for the business owner. Well, the tax system for the employee is meant to drive taxation or to cover taxes. The tax system for the business owner is meant to drive economy. So mm-hmm. one is meant to pay taxes, the other is meant to drive economy. It's available to everyone. But the reality of it is that the institutions are put in place in order to produce those persons who are more inclined to be a part of the infrastructure to pay taxes. So that's why you have different people going in different professions, and then those things that are funded in order to help people to go through that system in order to be that cycle. Everyone can break out of that cycle, and everyone can be a part of both cycles, but you have to be exposed. You got to have someone or a conversation, or you got to have a group that you're a part of where it's introduced. And then you got to have the courage to go against what everyone else is saying. But I'll tell you what's really interesting is that it's so hard to break people away from what the norm is and what is expected by everyone because of that peer pressure. So what it takes is courage. It takes a person to be courageous to actually then take those steps, because that which one thinks is secure is not really secure. But that's why my message is so important. And my message is that you are the asset. You are the asset. If you're a believer and you buy into the message that life is rich, then that means you already know that you're an heir. And as an heir, that means you know that your father owns it all. And if your father owns it all, then it's already in your hands. It's just a matter of whether or not you're going to grow your capacity in order to gain access to it, because no good parent is going to give you the keys to a car when you're not ready to drive it. Mm-hmm. But that's the same thing with our relationship with our father, is that everything is promised, but you've got to make the commitment to grow your capacity. And then as you grow your capacity, you can then walk yourself into that opportunity that you desire, that which you truly desire and have asked for. You're prepared for it. There are instructions for you to get it. And there's guidance available, but you must be willing to go through the process and trust the process, knowing that it's already done. Expectation. The expectation is there, then your behavior will follow suit. Problem is that most people don't have an expectation for anything greater. And with that expectation, they don't have the belief. So therefore, they don't take the actions. And that's why my role is so important, is that I'm able to provide the guidance, the instructions, and more importantly, the support to walk someone through that process and just to breathe life into who they are. Mm-hmm.
I love that. I want to come back to some of the financial stuff, but I want to ask you on a personal level, if that's okay. I just want you to share, because you have this mindset, and but I'm just wondering, is success and this growth mindset, this hero mindset, was it something that has always come naturally to you from the beginning? Was this how you were raised? Or is this something that you had to grow into yourself?
Well, once again, everything's already predestined. And the things that I point to in that way begins with me being the oldest sibling. So I'm the oldest. I grew up in a small town, and I was the first, quote unquote, student athlete. I was the first to really go after. In fact, I remember, and the thing, I come from my mom and dad, I don't remember when they were married. So it wasn't a situation where I was mirroring that, except for the traits. Mm-hmm. My dad was always hardworking. He never lived more than 30 minutes away from me. So I've never felt like I had a broken home. Mm-hmm. My parents had a good relationship. But my dad, never in my life had we ever communicated in which he didn't say, I love you. I come from a lineage of fathers where my dad was raised by his dad because their mom left. But my dad and his brothers were raised by my grandfather. And so I was able to see that relationship. And so I come from a spiritual based family. I love with my grandparents and being raised with an understanding and appreciation for God and faith. All those things I point to as my basis. I played quarterback in football, point guard in basketball. I was always proactive about my studies. In fact, I remember, I guess I had a behavior issue, and my teacher one day says, if you don't straighten up, you're not going to be able to go to algebra. Now here I am, I'm an eighth grader. And my teacher says something like, as a hot button. Algebra. Obviously knowing that it was something that I was actually, you know, that was going to impact me. That was going to cause me to straighten up. And so, so I think about things like that. I'm like, you know, that was a part of me. You know, I was, you know, best dressed, you know, considered best dressed in high school or something like that. So the bottom line is I look at all those types of things in my life as anchored. I started thinking about financial independence as a 10th grader in high school. And I did that because I saw my dad work really, really hard and swing shifts, so night or day. And there were times in which I'd ask for some things and he would say, we'll see, or I'll let you know. Because of course, that meant he had to look at whether or not that was something that was within the budget. It was financially able. And my dad would never make me a promise in which there was a possibility that there was not, that it wouldn't come through. In fact, he used to tell me, he said, well, I'm not gonna make you a promise because I could get hit by a car and all you're gonna remember is daddy said. In other words, there's no excuse for the follow through because inevitably you're going to still hold on to that which was expected. Mm-hmm. It's the type of things like that that are part of my fiber. My daddy always talk about, you know, there are consequences, you know, whatever you do, it's your decision. Do whatever you want to do. But, you know, you got to live with the consequences.
Yes.
And so all those things lay the foundation for the right mindset of responsibility. And you couple that with being an athlete and pursuing things and being able to learn to fight against resistance and going against opposition in order to try to get to a goal. But then the life-changing moment came when I got introduced to personal growth and development and entrepreneurship the week that I graduated from West Point. Mm. See, I never knew about picking up books and going to seminars and being around successful people.
Yeah.
But I walked into a room full of happy people.
And it was a little uncomfortable at first. I remember the first time I walked into a room full of happy people. I'm like, what are they on? Like,
so I walked into a room full of happy people and I'm like, huh. And I absorbed all of it. I was not drawn to the opportunity. But for me, I never knew about picking up books and going to seminars and being around successful people. And so as I've spoken around the world since 96, I've told people, take away my West Point degree, engineering and sociology, take away my MBA from George Washington University, take away my financial planning background from Georgetown University. When I learned to pick up books and go to seminars and be around successful people, that's what laid the foundation for everything else I've done in my life. And so that's the message that I take forth, and I try to leverage my professional background to share that message so that a person can understand that when I look at everything, the place that I put the most weight is accessible to everyone. Because it's not predicated on you going to school and getting a degree. No, you're the asset. I want to know what you want so I can then give you the proper recommendation on the proper route to take. And that's the essence of how I evolved. And so I've been intentional about personal growth and development now since 1996.
From your story, though, I think it became official then, but from listening to you speak, I think that's always been a part of you, because it looks like what you've done is you've always been a keen learner, observer of behavior, and taking the positive messages out of any interaction that you had, like to take the important lessons and then to be able to transfer them to other situations. I mean, that's the skill of a learner, right? Like, you were a great leader, but you also have a great following instinct and following the right things to follow. So copying the right cat, copying the right actions. So I think that's pretty incredible. What I would love to know, other than your own book, what book have you read that has impacted your life the most? What really made a difference for Nate Scott?
Well, outside of the Bible, the book that I've read on a consistent basis since 1996 is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, mm-hmm. Stephen Covey. Yeah. That book is my anchor and the thing that I point people to because of the importance of communication, the importance of habits. In fact, it led me to put something in my book that I call the Daily Habit Poem. And if I may, I'll share it with you.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, this is important because I think that if you really listen to this, this here can be life-changing. And it says, I'm your constant companion. I'm your greatest helper or heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. I'm completely at your command. Half of the things you do, you might as well turn over to me, and I will do them quickly and correctly. I'm easily managed. You must be firm with me. Show me exactly how you want something done, and after a few lessons, I will do it automatically. I'm the servant of great people and the laws of all failures as well. Those who are great, I have made great. Those who are failures, I have made failures. I'm not a machine, though. I work the precision of a machine plus the intelligence of a person. You may run me for profit or run me for ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. Who am I? I am habit.
I love that. That's true. We are accumulation of what we do every day. And Stephen Covey is his whole book. I mean, the whole point of that book is action over words, right? It's not what people say. It is actually what they put into practice. Mm-hmm. That's the 7 habits, right? They're actionable items. So back to the finances, what is the best advice you can give someone that maybe is currently wanting to shift their relationship with and their mindset towards financial freedom and living a rich life, how to gain that belief in themselves? Where would they start?
And it's not, go back to the acronym, life is rich. My starting point, in order for me to really put a person in the best position to win, mm-hmm. is to emphasize the importance of one's foundation. I do an exercise where I have people to draw a pyramid, and I say, I want you to organize these different elements based upon what you think is an optimal structure. So I'll say you have 6 aspects of your life. You have physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, emotional, spiritual. Spiritual, mental, emotional, relational, physical, financial. With those, place them in the order that you think would represent your optimal life. When people do that, it gives me an opportunity to kind of see where they're currently at mm-hmm. and quickly identify where they're out of balance or where things are out of order. If a person is up telling me that their foundation is financial, well then, I can talk through, okay, well, let's think about the implications of that and what things you're going to experience if that's really your foundation. Same thing with mental or financial or spiritual. So what I do is I start there. I say the foundation is spiritual, because from there, that's going to give you your sense of belief. That's going to give you where your anchor is at. And then from there, that's going to cause you to move into the mental space and then develop the right steps moving forward. Thoughts lead to feelings, lead to actions, lead to results. So once I get you started on the understanding of your spiritual basis, I can then say, well, now let's go with your mental state, because you're now going to think and grow rich, which is another book that I recommend. You want to think about what you really desire. Go back to Covey, begin with the end in mind. Think about. So you're going to lay that out. And then once you have, if you have belief and you then know where you want, then you can then take those actionable steps and trust the process to grow your capacity so that you're going to change your situation. The shortcut to that is mentorship, coaching, having someone that could actually help to walk you through that process. But as a general statement, you want to find things that was going to allow you to reduce your taxes, because that's your biggest expense. Mm-hmm. You then want to put yourself in a position to earn a profit, because you're the asset. You want to be in control of that. And then you want to find a way to grow your money. And thus, where all three of those things can be covered with leverage. You want to know how to leverage knowledge. You want to know how to leverage time, and you want to know how to leverage money. If you do those things, then that will allow you to really shift your life in a 90-day window.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. So what does a wealthy day look like for a date? So tell me something like when you're living your greatest day ever, what are some of your greatest days? What are you doing? What are you enjoying? What are you spending time, money on?
Yeah. You know, it's a truly a blessing in that I quote unquote financially retired at 32, which meant that I walked away from a traditional workplace because I had to be there, and picked up and moved to Jacksonville, Florida, sight unseen, when my daughter was born. Mm-hmm. Because that was my why. My whole driver was that if I ever had a family, I wanted to be around. That's what drove me to get out of the military, is that I didn't want to be back in combat and be thinking about someone else thinking about me. I was fine with me being fully committed as an infantry officer and ranger, but I didn't want to be in a situation doing my job and then wondering, thinking about people thinking about me back in the civilian world. And so that's the impact that 19-year-old experience had on me. And so I always was working always to the financial end to be that dad that was around. And so 2004, I had my daughter, Nadia. And I looked at my numbers and realized that financially I was in a position that I had enough passive income coming in that I didn't have to stay in that job in order to continue on. So I was able to leave a great job, moved to Jacksonville, Florida, get near Savannah, which is home, and get near the water, which is what I wanted because I'm an introvert naturally, and that's where I charge. So a perfect day for me begins with me getting up and going down and walking down to the beach, or going to the beach and just being there. I enjoy being able to, you know, wake up and go for walks with my amazing wife, Andrea C. Scott, and the relationship that we have, and the blessing of having someone that I can truly do life with because of a common respect for one another. Mm-hmm. And I love experiencing just people. You know, last week is a real example of how fluid my life is. I had an opportunity to go to Phoenix, Arizona to finish up a year-long coaching program that I was a part of. And I wasn't sure if I was going to go. I wasn't leaning into going. And so there was a football game coming up in Jacksonville, Florida. It was a game that I'm like, wow, this is here. Let me go ahead and get these tickets. So I bought tickets on Wednesday to go to this football game. Went on my morning walk, even saw the billboard where it was showing, hey, the game this weekend. But I called a buddy of mine and we talked and I said, you know what? I got this opportunity, but I know I should be going to my coaching program. It's the culmination event. It's the physical event. And I'm like, So I made a decision to go. I sold my game tickets, bought the flight and hotel, went out to Phoenix, participated in that speak-off, came a semifinalist, 225 participants, first round. 75 people go to the first round. 30 people go to the semifinals. I'm one of those that will be going to the semifinals for this pilot TV show, The Great American Speak Off. And from there, I met some people, but one particular person, very successful. We really hit it off, learned that she was going to be speaking in Florida. She told me about a women's event. My audience are women. We were at an event talking about winning stages. So it was another opportunity that was presented where I'm like, do I want to do something like that? It's 3.5 hours away, yada, yada. Made a decision to actually just drive. No plan except for just being in the space.
Mm-hmm.
Drove down there, hung out in the hotel lobby, sat at the bar, talked to a few people, made a few contacts. The next day, Tuesday night, they had a gala. So I left the hotel, went back to the place I was actually staying at. And as I drove up, there was a pink Cadillac. I took a picture of the Cadillac. I went ahead and parked, went back over to the conference center, spoke to the person who was hosting the meeting. And met another lady who was walking in and found out she was a business person, shared a little bit about me. She asked to exchange contact information. We in turn did that. I went back to my room, was in there, was like, why am I staying here by myself? There's something going on. This is not serving me. Went back over to the conference room. As soon as I walked into the room, someone recognized me. She was speaking and she stopped and was like, hey, I'm like, who is this? Well, come to find out, when they asked me to speak, this person actually has my book.
Oh.
She actually has spoken to me. I'm in a city that I've never been to before. I speak in a room of 14 women, my ideal audience, women entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm.
and 10 of them got my book without me making a call to action, but only because of me sharing the message. And so, Chrissy, I'll tell you, the things that drive me, that just give me joy, are the opportunity to, like I said, those beach walks, my wife, my children, and the opportunity to make impact. I'm truly living out the message that life is rich, to live in fullness every day, because I realize I'm Christ there. So I wake up with an expectation that all I've got to do is bring myself to each day and just be open to the moment. Carpe diem. Seize the day.
I love that. And then having the freedom to act on those opportunities. It's incredible. Thank you for sharing that. So to close off, what's next for you? What's next for Nate Scott? What can people look forward to hearing from you or seeing from you? What's next?
I'm singularly focused on actively promoting the Life is Rich message, which I haven't done. The trip out to Phoenix, was a step towards doing that and really reaffirmed mm-hmm. the importance of my message and the impact I have on rooms. And then to experience these last few days, again, dropping myself into a space, complete strangers, and knowing that I'm able to add value and that people are ready to receive me. It's about being proactive, about being in the right rooms. And so what I'm seeking out are opportunities to do this right here. My goal is to get on one physical stage each month over the next 12 months, starting now, as well as at least two digital stages. So podcasts are like that, Zooms or things like that, where I'm able to get in front of at least 10 people at one time so that I can in turn give a glimpse of who I am, what it is I do, and more importantly, how I serve and the results that I can help people to deliver. And what makes it unique for me is that I can compliment anyone, because I'm pulling from so much. I'm best served when I'm just listening, and then I'm able to answer specific questions to demonstrate the things that I have that I can pull from in order to be an aid in helping someone to realize their full potential. So you should just see and hear more of me, and I'm looking for those champions that also experience me and say, you know what? I know his message, I know what he's about, and we wanna get him in front of more people. So. This is everything full forward movement to making that happen.
I think it's a great message, an important message, and getting to know you, and of course knowing your wife, I'm always impressed with your authenticity, just how genuine you are, and just how spirit filled you are. And I think it's just an excellent message to get out, and I'm really proud to have you on the show. So thank you so much for sharing so openly. Where can people find you?
The best place to find me is to go to www.lifeisrichglobal.com, www.lifeisrichglobal.com. To get a direct link to the book, you can go to www.lifeisrichtoday.com, www.lifeisrichtoday.com. And you get a signed copy from me, as well as I'll follow up with the video and give you a couple of extras. So that's as an incentive to come direct versus going on Amazon. So. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Perfect. And is there anything, any last thoughts that you'd like to leave the audience with?
Yeah. You know, I'd like to leave you guys with a story that I have in my book that I want, that really boils down to me saying that you want to recognize that you are so much more. You're so much more than you may actually realize and even believe. And I like to share this story about Michael Downing. You see, Michael Downing was asked to go to Germany to speak to a group of wounded soldiers. Michael made the trip to Germany, and as he walked in the room, he saw soldiers who had been shot. There were amputees whose eyes told him they had lost all hope, and he was empathized with them. Michael was a successful businessman. He actually was the president of a very successful bank. As he looked at these soldiers, he started his speech by saying this: "I want you to know that anything is possible. I hope that you dream big dreams because you have a bright future ahead of you and the potential to achieve anything you desire." The soldiers weren't in good spirits. They began to boo him, and the booing got so severe that Michael stopped and sat down. He reached down and removed his prosthetic right leg. Then he removed his prosthetic left leg. Then he removed his right arm, and he took off his left hand. You see, what the soldiers didn't know was that when Michael was 14 years old, he fell from the back of a wagon in a snowstorm. By the time his parents realized he was missing and came back to get him, he had severe frostbite requiring the amputation of both legs, his right arm at the shoulder and his left hand at the wrist. He empathized with the soldiers because he knew what they were going through. He had lost all hope in his life before. And sitting there, a stump of a man, he started his speech over again by saying, "I want you to know that anything is possible. I hope that you dream big dreams because you have a bright future ahead of you and the potential to achieve anything you desire." Now, I have to imagine that was the greatest speech ever given. Michael's message is what I want to leave with you. Anything is possible. I hope that you dream big dreams because you have a bright future ahead of you and the potential to achieve anything you desire.
That's perfect. I'm not even going to add anything because it's perfect just as it is. Thank you so much, Nate.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Life is Rich podcast. I'm your host, Nate Scott. Remember, if I tell you, you'll forget. If I teach you, you'll remember. But if I involve you, you'll learn. One way to get involved is to rate, subscribe, and leave feedback on iTunes by answering the question, what did you like best about what you heard? One of the problems faced by Christian entrepreneurs striving for success is having an alliance with like-minded people working together for a common, definite objective. Would you like to join a community of Life is Rich soldiers? If so, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast on iTunes and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846 for the link and this month's free book. Again, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846. Again, my name is Nate Scott. Take care and be blessed.